Daredevil scrapped, more Aquaman 2 test screenings, and Loki Episode 2. We're talking all that and more on this week's show. I'm your host, Nick.
I'm Anthony.
And welcome to That Superhero Thing.
Let's do it.
Two weeks in a row. That hasn't happened for a while.
I know. We've done three.
We have, if you include the Patreon.
Yeah.
Have you recovered from watching The Flash yet? I'm still having nightmares about Boromir from Lord of the Rings, aka Jason Momoa.
I'm just seeing scary sim babies all the time.
It's weird, isn't it? It was not good. We did the Patreon episode, and it was our bad movie commentary of The Flash.
Yeah.
I quite liked it, I'll be really honest, but the CG was the most awful thing I've ever seen.
I've never known anything like it.
It was bad. I know why it was bad. Apparently, I read an article from somebody who worked on it for the CGI, and he said that if it looks bad CGI, like it was done in a week, it's because it was done in a week. Literally, yeah. So apparently, Warner Brothers and Marvel work the same, is they put the job out to multiple CG VFX houses.
Yeah.
And they just go with who, it's like a bidding war for who can do it cheapest. And Warner Brothers will just go who can do it the cheapest. So they won't go with, well, let's go really good CGI. It's just a case of like, people will come and pay for this and we'll watch it anyway.
Yeah.
We don't care. As long as we can get what we want on the screen, we're not interested.
Is that literally because the DC was ending and they knew that at this point?
I don't know. It's just not very good. It's just not very good.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad, really bad form.
But that's what they did. That's why no one watched it.
Do you know
apart
what?
From us.
As a general rule, it's making me really start to dislike Warner Brothers. Just seeing how little they give a shit, it's making me go, well, why do I want to pay money to watch your films?
Well, and we did as well. I was going to say, we didn't. We ripped it from Torrent, but we didn't. We paid it.
$4.99.
We know that we do that. Ever. Not ever,
Ipsnay
ever.
On the torrent.
We should move on very quickly before we get arrested.
Yeah.
Anyway, on this week's show, we're breaking down all the week's biggest comic book movie news before breaking down episode 2 of Loki season 2. Finally, after that, we'll be listening to all of your thoughts and theories in this week's Pod Fans Assemble. This is also your spoiler warning. There will be spoilers and speculation, as always, throughout the episode. If you want to skip ahead to the Loki review or to Pod Fans Assemble, then we're going to put timestamps in the description, as we always do. Should we do news then?
Standard. Let's do it.
So, let's start with DC news. There you go. Straight into Warner Brothers.
Wonderful.
So, we've already sort of talked about and asked already about who's staying and who's going after the DCU is rebooted.
Like, yes.
What's canon and what's not canon. It looks like we might actually have some concrete info now, thanks to Variety. So, they've confirmed that, shock horror, none of the stars cast by Zack Snyder for 2016's Batman v Superman or 2017's Justice League, including Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, shocking, and Jason Momoa are going to be reprising their roles in the new DC universe going forward, in character, that is, because they've gone on to say that Jason Momoa is probably still going to be part of the DCU.
Well, there's been rumours. Yeah, there's been rumours about him being someone else, and I can't remember who it was
Lobo.
Now.
So Lobo, according to Variety, he's in final talks to play Lobo. So Lobo, think alien mercenary, 90s grungy, gritty comic book character.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like proper 90s, like attitude era type thing.
Yeah.
He's basically that character.
Oh, okay.
He looks a bit like Pennywise / Spawn, and he's like a Deadpool.
He literally got left in a puddle.
I don't get it.
Well, the last time we've seen Momoa at the minute.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
Face down in a puddle.
Yeah. How are they going to make that work?
I have no idea.
How is nobody going to go,
this is the thing.
Jason Momoa, it's Aquaman?
Well, this is the thing, because we've also had confirmation that the Peacemaker characters are staying.
Yeah.
So, but Peacemaker was in the Suicide Squad with Harley Quinn, who was in...
Hang on, we're going to get there in a minute. Was in what?
All the other
She's not, I don't think she's been in a movie with Momoa.
With any of them?
Wasn't Jason Momoa in...
She was in the scene with Joker, wasn't she,
Jason
in Justice League?
Wasn't Jason Momoa in Peacemaker? At the end? Didn't Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller show up in the last episode? I've not seen it, but spoilers.
Yeah.
I said, I've done the spoiler warning.
I don't know if Ezra Miller did, but...
Jason Momoa has been on screen with Peacemaker.
Yes.
With John Cena.
Yeah, yeah.
And now John Cena is going to carry on in this new DCU.
Retcon.
With somebody else, with Jason Momoa playing somebody else. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I suppose maybe if you left it ages, but the rumour is that Momoa is going to show up as Lobo in Superman.
Oh, really?
Was it the first movie? So they're not leaving it very long, are they?
Is Superman going to be the first movie?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Isn't that Creature Commandos thing?
Yeah, I thought that's the one that was going to be first.
That's like a cartoon TV series. Okay. So I think Superman's the first movie.
Oh, right.
It's a mess.
Yeah, shocking. It's confusing.
It is.
I am glad that Peacemaker's still around, though, because that series was awesome. I know you still haven't finished it.
I haven't finished it. I'm
but it's so good.
I need to catch up. And we need to watch Gen V. We had one of our patrons, Sheldon, asked if we're going to cover Gen V. We will. Yeah, we will. We'll do an episode on it. We might just have to do a bonus episode, but we'll do it once the series is
finished.
Once
it's finished, yeah.
We'll do it all in one hit. Sticking with DC, then, in particular, Jason Momoa, Aquaman 2 test screenings. Yes, it's still happening, this film. There were rumours last week that Warner Brothers had lost it. Like, lost the film. Like, they lost like the floppy disk with it on or something like that.
Right.
It was rubbish.
How is it in this day and age that there is only... I mean, I know for security reasons they might only have one copy, but like...
No. The rumour was that it had accidentally been deleted. The whole thing had accidentally been deleted from the Warner Brothers servers. But it hasn't.
But how would you even do that?
I don't know.
Would you not have some form of backup just in case somebody did that?
They probably did it. It's not a thing. It didn't really get lost.
I know, but
it would
even the fact
me.
that is a worry that may happen.
It's
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just baffles me.
I don't know, but it's not a thing anymore.
2023 people,
but it's still happening. Even after so many recuts. According to Variety, again, even the latest round of test screenings is getting really mediocre responses, with one person saying that the movie's like an echo of Regimes. It's the last remnant of the Snyderverse, and no one really wants to take ownership of it. What a shame.
It is a shame. I didn't hate the Snyderverse, and I didn't hate Aquaman 1 either.
I haven't... I've tried to watch it twice and fell asleep both times.
Okay.
But I have tried to watch it like late at night.
Yeah, I was going to say, fell asleep because you were bored or fell asleep because it was late?
Probably a mix of the two.
All right, okay.
If I'm really honest. I've not watched Wonder Woman either. Fell asleep in Wonder Woman 1 twice.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but... I do just think, why are you bothering with test screenings and shit like that? If you... A, the DC universe is ending.
I know.
Like the original, the Snyderverse one is ending. And... this is literally just because you've basically already done it and paid them out, so you may as well try and scrape back as much money as you can.
Exactly.
Just put it out.
You're not saving this movie.
No.
No one's
going to spending more money on it now. Yeah, you may as well just leave it as it is, release it when it's due to be released, and then just get what you get for it. Like,
if it's
chill
that
out.
Bad, just put it on streaming. Like, you're not going to make any money from it, from the marketing, just put it on streaming.
Exactly.
Just get it out, move on with it.
Yeah.
And let's just crack on. But yeah, it is happening. 20th of December, it's coming out.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll review it if we can make it to that many episodes in a row.
I'm sure you'll fall asleep watching it.
I'm sure I probably will. If the CGI is anything like The Flash, though, I'll be wide awake watching it. Let's move on to some Marvel news.
Okay.
The biggest Marvel news of the week.
Yeah.
Daredevil Born Again has been scrapped. Came as a massive shock. Hollywood Reporter have said that it's been scrapped and it's going to be redone from the ground up. So according to the trade, almost half of the 18-episode show had been filmed, but when Kevin Feige saw what had been produced, he decided it just wasn't working, and he scrapped it. He's fired writers Chris Ord and Matt Corman. And the rumour is that it was gonna... What they're saying is, it turned out to be more of like a legal procedural courtroom drama than a superhero series.
Yeah.
And as we said the other day, apparently Matt Murdock didn't suit up until episode 4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a superhero show.
And we've already had the origin story.
Exactly.
So it's not like you're building up to it at all.
No. It's so, like season 1 of Daredevil on Netflix. He doesn't get a suit till the end, but he still suits up somewhat. But you could, if it was a complete origin story, I still think 4 episodes pushing it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But I could get it. But we've all, like you said, we've all seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. The plan now is that they're going to overhaul the whole thing from scratch, with the original writers are now going to be attached as executive producers.
Okay.
So they're still on board.
So the ones he's fired from their role as the writer.
Writing, they're just going to act as exec producers, which basically means they're not going to do anything. He's just giving them a little bit of money and titling them as executive producers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what... It's like Stan Lee was executive producer on everything.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything.
To make him feel involved.
And I would imagine that's what's happening here. I'll be honest, I think... as shocking a news as this was, and we've said this already off the air.
Yeah.
I think this is great news.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not going to be any good, don't put it out.
Yeah. 100%.
Marvel and Disney's whole idea with everything over the last 2 years apparently is similar to Warner Brothers. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Throw out any old shit, people will pay. And as long as we keep producing content, we're good. They've now clearly got to the point where people are getting fed up of that, and they've got onto the fact they're getting
fed up. Think this is the ripple of Bob Iger coming back
as a
general rule as well.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's going back to the quality over the quantity.
Yeah.
Because we already know everything got pulled back quite quickly after he took the helm again.
Oh, massively, yeah.
So,
and it's not a bad thing. It's a bit disappointing because you've not got as much content, but we were getting a bit overwhelmed, and it's like we've said before.
We stopped getting excited for the new thing coming.
It wasn't special.
No.
It was just like, oh, another one. So they're saying, though, as well, that the whole setup, particularly with Marvel TV, is now going to change. So they're saying now that shows are going to have proper showrunners that write the pilots and the whole Bible, rather than having individual writers and directors for every episode, which they still will have.
Yeah,
there's still going to be one whole thing, and they're going to structure it now as well, so that rather than having everything being limited series, they're going to have ongoing stories.
Yeah.
So the rumor is that now Daredevil, when it does eventually come out, rather than being one big 18-episode series, is going to be two series of 9 episodes.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
It does
make
more
sense. And that seems easier to deal with.
It does.
As the consumer.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Because we were saying 18 episodes was a lot.
It is.
So the fact that it'd be two series of 9 episodes each makes a lot more sense.
It gives you more flexibility as well, because if you get to the end of series one and it's come out and everyone goes, oh, that was a bit, I mean, it was all right, but it was a bit crap. You've got time to change things and sort of go with what the audience seem to be liking and appreciating.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, well, there you go, that's it, you're done now.
Yeah,
so
no,
I don't think it's a bad thing. Final bit of Marvel news. Oh no, actually, do you know what? We've had another little sneaky bit of news that's just come in.
Okay.
Like an hour ago. Dead tiny bit of news before we move into the last bit. Werewolf by Night.
Oh yeah.
Is going to be released in colour next week. Yeah.
So I'd seen that a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't see
a date. It's official now.
I don't know if I want to see it in colour.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to take... I want to watch it in colour.
I feel like I'm worried it's going to... Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's going to take away from...
Yeah.
From what we got.
And it is. I mean, Marvel do need to still keep producing things. Otherwise, people will get bored. But it's a way of what we've just said. It's like producing something without producing something new and, you know, causing further damage. I don't know
if I want to watch it in colour.
I will watch it, because I've not watched it since it came out, which is a year ago.
Will Swamp Thing look as good, though?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. And I just worry that the colour aspect will make it too silly.
I think personally... I think it's going to be like Marmite. This, some people will have really bought in, and me included, the style of it, the black and white suited it perfectly.
Yeah,
I think you'll also though have a lot of mainstream people, you know, just like random, more casual Marvel viewers, shall we say?
Yeah,
who will have got 5 minutes into it and gone, "What is this? Why does it look like it was made in the '40s? And why is it in black and white?" And it was probably quite inaccessible to them. Whereas now releasing it in colour, you might find more of the casual viewers start watching it. Because it's a fantastic show/movie.
Yeah, it was.
Great.
It was
and
awesome.
I would imagine a lot of people have missed out on it because of how it was put across. I know my wife, Jill, she won't watch anything if it looks old.
Yeah.
It's like, I tried to get her to watch The Rock a couple of months ago, and she's like, it looks really old. It's from the 90s. It's like, try getting her to watch something like this in black and white that looks like it was filmed in 1943.
It's never
going to happen. But the colour aspect, I think it will get more people on board.
Yeah.
Which is good. But I don't want them to stop making stuff like that style.
Yeah.
Because I think that was good.
Yeah.
Give us the option. Like they released Logan in black and white, didn't they? And Snyder.
Did they?
And Logan came out in black and white, in a black and white version. And Justice League came out in a black and white version. Just give us the option rather than maybe forcing it down. Last bit of Marvel news then quickly. The Marvels box office tracking. So the initial forecasts are in for the last MCU movie of the year. It's not looking particularly stellar.
Currently
tracking to earn between $50 million and $75 million domestically in its opening weekend. So for context, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 opened with $114 million domestically. Eternals opened with $71. So it's tracking to maybe do as good as Eternals, but possibly not.
Shit.
It can't be a good sign, clearly. No. Why? Is it superhero fatigue? Is it the fact that we're in the middle of the SAG strike and no one can do any press for it?
I think it's also because people still have an issue with Brie Larson.
Oh, surely not.
Honestly, it's still a thing.
Really?
Yeah, people have just still refused to watch anything she's in and boycott her. Oh, honestly, it's genuinely that. A thing.
That's bonkers.
So I just find it all very unusual. But especially with the way we got Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what all that was about.
I do wonder whether that's partially the reason as well, though, because if you've got somebody who's not watched the Marvel TV show, you might sit there and think, what's this about? But then I think as well, if you haven't watched the Marvel TV show, maybe you'd just be like, oh, she must just be a new character, I'll watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. We did ask on Twitter earlier today, we said on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for it? 10 being, I can't wait. 1 being, hope it gets cancelled. We had all generally positive. We had The Reason You Hate the Browns on Twitter saying a solid 8. Geek Salad said 9. It looks a blast. Jeff C said 100. Very keen. Jim Jam gave us a 7.5. And Jordan Carpenter said 10 out of 10. I've been excited to watch it for so long now.
I'd say I'm at an 8 or 9 to watch it, you know.
I'd say I'm probably at an 8, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the trailer looked really good.
I think the trailer looked really good.
Doesn't look serious. But it just looks fun.
I also really like... And her name's gone out of my head. The one's going to be Photon, or we think
Maria.
Yeah. I went to say Monica, and I knew that was wrong. But yeah, that like I'm excited to know her storyline because we've had the taste of it all the way through, but
that's all we've had.
She's not had her actual own proper story.
Yeah,
something to actually kind of get your teeth into.
I am looking forward to it, and I really hope that we do have this whole Planet the Tour musical because I think that'll be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. Can't wait. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm good. 10th of November, same day as the Loki finale. Don't know whether that's a good idea, unless they're purposely linked, but then I think that's probably a bad idea, because what if you haven't watched one of them? So yeah, we'll see. You would have thought they'd just move one of them a week, wouldn't you? Probably Loki.
You'd
bring Loki out either a week earlier or leave or it a
do
week a, later.
Or do a double episode
or
ending.
Do episode 1 and 2 at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know. They get paid to do this, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm sure there's a reason why, but yeah. That's the news for this week. Should we do Loki episode 2?
Yes.
We'll break it down, we'll go into detail, but in general, before we start sort of breaking down the episode, still good? Still on board?
Yeah, 100%.
Me too.
I really enjoyed it.
I was a little bit concerned that it wasn't going to be... I'm not sure it was as good as episode 1, but if it wasn't, it was minutely not as good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had this fear that episode 1 had set the bar really, really high.
Yeah.
And it was going to go all, like, literally just shit downhill from here, basically. Yeah. But it was good. I
really liked it.
Still ended, not on a cliffhanger, but still ended with me going, I need next week's episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I need it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really invested in it. I thought it was really, really good.
So did I.
Because no way they can keep up this level of... They're not able to keep up this cat. But fingers crossed, eh?
So we've still not had Kang yet.
We've still not had
and
Kang.
And we got the end credit, didn't we? Where they were sat in like the 40s watching him on stage.
Last season.
Yeah. And we've... Like, that's not even come into it yet. No. So I'm just thinking there's still tons more that...
Yeah. Well, from this episode... So I think this episode is... leading us to be like, right, we now need to get Kang.
We've
gone from we don't want to go anywhere near this guy, we want to stop it, but we kind of can't stop it because people are going to die if we stop it.
Yeah,
but now it's kind of leading towards we're going to need a Kang variant.
But now it's kind of we're all going to die if we don't stop it, so we need him to
we'll get there in a minute. Yeah, we're skipping.
It's messy, but it's good.
I know it sounds like the obvious thing to do anyway, but I want to spend time on this. The opening before the titles was amazing. It lasted a long time.
The whole
scene in London.
Yeah.
So we jumped to 1977 London on the sacred timeline.
Yes.
So it's not a branch.
No.
Sacred timeline straight away. I got a little bit lost very quickly because my head wasn't in. And thinking about it now, it's like it is time travel.
Yeah.
But Brad, X5. So incest son.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like, it threw me how established he was
and how long
he'd been there. Because I was like, hang on, how long have they been looking for him? And it took me a bit of time to be like, it could have been 2 minutes.
Time travelled.
Could have been 2 minutes for them. He could have been there.
He's been there 5 years. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it doesn't matter. But it threw me.
Yeah.
It really, really did throw me. The whole scene, though, was absolutely brilliant. I like fact that we had I like the fact he was just established there.
Yeah.
So he was Brad Wolf.
Brad Wolf. Yeah.
Brad Wolf in a film called Zaniac. Yeah. So Zaniac was a villain in a Thor comic like 100 years ago.
Oh, really?
He was only in three of them. So yeah. He was like a proper like really random, really, really random villain, but they brought him for this. He's obviously now complete, like famous, doesn't want to leave. He's obviously gone off in the mission with his with Docs, who I don't think is his mum, but she is incest mum as far as this podcast is concerned now.
Yeah.
And he's like sacked her off and just thought, I want to do my own thing now.
Yeah.
He's realized how good his life was on the sacred timeline.
Yeah.
So he's gone back to the sacred timeline. Yeah. And fair play, he's like a famous Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
Living it up with Kingo. There was a Kingo poster.
Love it.
There in the background as well. B-15 was in there as well, very briefly.
Yeah.
The best bit of it, and it seemed like it went on for ages and I didn't appreciate how short it must have been until we got to the titles. The whole chase scene.
The chase scene was brilliant.
The chase scene, the gang of people who all just turned out to be pure
I thought that was so clever because it didn't even register
at all. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
and, not it, and then as soon as they all paused, I went...
Yeah. And then we get the multiple Lokis.
And then the shadow Lokis with the horns. I was like, amazing.
So I sort of like... I saw this clip yesterday.
Well, when I saw the horns, I was like... He's going to wear his costume again. So I was waiting for it to turn back to him and it didn't. And I was like, why not?
And then
I realized and I was like, I love it.
It was so good. And it's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But it was just so well thought out. And it kind of makes you like realize how powerful Loki is.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. And I don't know, it might not have even been real. It might have all been in Brad's head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's pure illusion. But
then I also loved Mobius speaking to the wrong Loki.
Yes.
The fact that he assumed it was the Loki in the middle and then when they both went, he just went, what?
Exactly.
He just looks over to the left.
No, I like that. Again, all pre-titles, but yeah. I loved it.
It was so good.
I suppose, I don't know whether to touch on it now or to touch on it later, it all felt a little bit weird.
Okay.
The whole thing. Like, it didn't feel real.
Yeah.
And there's a running theme through the episode, and it all comes from Brad, to be fair, or X5, but he keeps saying none of this is real.
Yeah.
And there were a few times, we'll jump about a little bit, we'll go through it, but there were a few times where you like had like looks on Mobius's face where he just looked like he wasn't, not there, but he looked a little bit confused. And particularly when, after they do one of the interrogations, which we'll come to, when Loki's following Mobius and Mobius is like, where are we going? And he's like, you're following me. And they just end up in this random canteen with the key lime pie. But it's things like that and Brad constantly going, this isn't real, that got me in that episode questioning, is this actually real? I don't know how it wouldn't be real. I don't know whether it's some sort of simulation or something like that.
Do we think that Kang's playing with them?
I don't know. But I'm just starting to, and I didn't know whether it was just like, it's not real because, you know, your real life is the sacred timeline.
Yeah.
And I thought that's where we were going until we got that canteen scene. And something about that scene with not knowing who'd led who into the room that just felt, and I'm probably reading into it far
too much. It seems far too weird to have not been purposeful.
It's either, it's either lazy writing to a degree.
Yeah.
But again, why would you write that?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're probably reading
into it. There's got to be a reason to it.
I'm sure we're probably reading into it too much, but yeah, it is what it is. We'll get there, I suppose. So after we had the open titles, we had Obi.
Yeah.
And he's trying to fix the loom.
Yeah.
To allow it, to not stop the branches anymore.
Yeah.
But to allow it to handle multiple branches.
Yeah.
But then he can't get through. Because the blast doors are locked.
Because of the temporal aura.
That's it. Yeah. So the unidentified. Well done, aren't they?
Thank you.
Well done.
And I have no notes.
It's somewhere in my notes, but I don't know whereabouts it is. So this is getting us into Kang, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the only person who's going to be able to access this is going to be a Kang variant.
Well, I sat there at first and I thought, well, why can't Loki just shift? And then I was like, you're in the TVA. He's got no powers.
Because I thought of that at first. Just turn into...
Yeah,
but I still don't think it'd probably
just
give off the right
aura. Just
because
he can do illusions.
Aura.
Yeah, no, I get that now. But like at first I was like, if it just needs that... Because I think I was thinking of it less aura and more like, I don't know, face print. Not face print.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, why can't he do that? And then I remembered, oh, he can't use his magic in the TVA anyway, outside of the
timelines. No, he can't use any of it in there, can he? But so this has got to be leading then. We're jumping around the episode already. We've tried. Sorry. We've had a go. We'll get it all in. so he, this has got to be going to be leading to having to go and find a Kang.
Yes.
A version of Kang.
Yeah.
Which version of Kang? I would assume surely you're going to go after the
weakest one.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's what I'd go to, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to end up in 1940s London trying to get this Kang variant.
We assume
on
from
board.
The previous clip that we've seen.
Yes. And he's Victor Timely. So Victor Timely is like a big villain in the comics.
Oh, okay.
And he is a Kang variant. He's a bad Kang variant.
Oh, is he?
I don't know much more than that, but they're running with like comic storylines.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get the impression that he's going to be... I can see why they might think he's like an illusionist type thing in 1940s London. How dangerous can he be? But I think he's probably going to lead into being potentially even the big bad of the season. Do you think we're going to get a lot of Jonathan Majors in this? Or do you think they're going to try and sort of cut it down to keep it like as limited as possible because of all that's going on in the background?
I mean, I don't know. Especially if they've already filmed it all.
Yeah.
I just think they'll just get it out, to be honest.
And do something later on
to get
rid of him if you need to get rid of him.
Well, do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, how have we got... We seem to have some characters that they are like the same actor plays their variants. And then obviously because they brought the Spider-Man in, like we had three different Spider-Men.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it. Loki season one.
Yeah.
Go back to that. We had a load of different Loki variants, but we did get one of Tom Hiddleston as Loki. He was President Loki. Do you remember?
Yes.
He was the one that got his hand bitten off. So now that's making me think, yes, you can have different ones, but you can also have ones that are the same actor.
Well, we saw others in Loki season one as well when he showed like on one of the temp pads.
Yeah.
He showed like different versions and was like, looked like there was one who'd won the Tour de France.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was up to Loki, but it was still Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
So so it can be either.
But I'd forgotten about all of these little things because obviously it's been passing in an episode here and there.
Yeah.
Rather than us like really having a substantial moment with them.
Yeah.
So I've been sat there going, you know, Doctor Strange, it was all the same. It was all Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
But then obviously you had the different Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Like, how are they explaining this? And Loki seems to be that link showing that it can be...
It can do it.
It can be the same.
I think it depends on when... It's going to depend on when it branches, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's like... My understanding of it is it can literally just be between making a decision, like, what do I have for Matita? Do I have pizza or a burger? And there's a branch timeline there. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of me has a burger and one of them has a pizza.
Yeah.
And therefore, if that's Tom Hiddleston's Loki deciding on a pizza or a burger... Both paths are still going to be Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go back far enough,
it's
a different Loki and it's a different species of Loki and a different sex of Loki. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just depends. So, in theory, we could end up with multiple versions of Kang with multiple people playing him.
Yeah.
So it's not, luckily for Marvel, it's not that big of an ask.
It's something that can be very easily changed.
Yes.
Story-wise.
Exactly, yeah.
So
but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the interrogation scenes?
Yes.
There were two interrogation scenes. So there was the first one where they didn't really get very far.
No.
X5 was just fighting back, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got to Loki.
Yeah, he did.
He really, really got to Loki.
It was hard.
It was a bit heavy, wasn't it?
It was hard to listen to that, to be fair.
Because
we know his arc.
Yes.
We know that he's not this person anymore.
So does X5.
No, I know.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? That's why it's dangerous.
Yeah. And so to just go back to that Loki again and seeing him getting all this said to him, and he's still trying. He hasn't gone through all of that arc, but he's still been trying since he's been in the TVA.
Yeah,
and like,
because it's not the Loki who we know who's been through that arc. It's not Loki from Avengers Infinity.
It's Avengers One Loki.
It is, yeah.
So
who's had to experience that entire character arc over a couple of hours watching TV?
Yeah,
from something that hasn't actually happened.
Yeah,
to him.
Yeah,
but he was proper harsh with him. He's saying like, "You're not a hero. You're never going to be a hero.
Yeah,
you're a villain." And just be.
Yeah.
Be a villain. Do you think... And for a minute when I was watching that, I was like, could we go back to this version of Loki becoming a villain? Or has he gone too far now?
I'd say he's gone too far.
I would hope he's gone... Yeah, I think he probably has. but I kind of miss Loki as a villain.
Well, I think that because of Kang, I reckon we'll get to play with that side of Loki.
Yes.
I think the fact that we've had this conversation and he's gone, you are a villain, just be. I think he's at some point going to have to play Kang at his own game.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do it in an underhand way, or do it where something is going to have to be sacrificed, but he's going,
yeah,
sod it. Like, it might make me bad, but he's worse.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I think we might still get it without it having to destroy his overall arc.
I think the question is as well, though, it's like, where do you, how much longer do we go with Loki as well?
Yeah.
Because we've had Tom Hiddleston since Thor 1, which was what, the third movie in the MCU?
Yeah, yeah.
2009 or 2010, I want to say.
I think so, something like
that. So he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
And I can't see him as a villain again.
No.
Because it'd feel like no progress. Like a proper villain, do you know what I mean? But I also can't see him being part of the Avengers either. So no. It's like, where does he go?
I think that when Loki series ends,
I think we're done with Hiddleston then.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he might show up in Kang Dynasty.
I think he might show up. Well, he always can. This is the thing, because it's, again, variance, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all of that kind of thing. So he always can show up again, but I think this Loki story, this whole embodiment of Loki, whether it's kind of
even though it's not him stepping out
of the timeline and stuff, like, I think this will be it for him. I think once Loki ends.
And it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's just one of them things, like, it's hard.
But I think if we've got a 4-year gap
and then
he appears again in Kang, we'll go, oh, Loki.
Yeah, I think.
Do you know what I mean?
You'll see,
and I think that'd be nice.
And then that will be the that'll be the end of Loki, or at least Hiddleston as Loki.
Yeah.
I also thought, I know we've already talked about the scene briefly, but in that whole cafeteria scene, when he, you can see how far he's come when he's talking about the Avengers.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I got really upset once. I ended up taking the whole of New York hostage, threw Tony Stark off a building just because he upset me a little bit. I was just a bit of a dick, really. Do you know what I mean? It was like that attitude. And he's gone from like, how important that all was to Loki at the time. It's like, the world, the universe is against me. I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to rule this planet. And then I'm going after Thanos.
And
he's
like,
just like, I was just being a bit of a knob. I was in a bad mood.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. But again, so you can see how far he's progressed.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then he kind of flips. But how easily he flips back into it.
Because then
eventually, after that cafeteria scene, we get the second interrogation,
yeah,
which was bordering on Sonya Fallsworth.
Amazing.
It wasn't quite as good as Sonya Fallsworth.
No.
But it was bordering on as good as her. So he locks Mobius out.
Yeah.
I wasn't 100% sure on whether that was
planned or not. Yeah.
I didn't know whether it was part of the setup, but clearly it was.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty with Loki and Tom Hiddleston's Loki.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know. He could have just flipped and it's like, oh, crap, he's just going to go for this now. So he gets this. It was kind of like a time cage.
Yeah.
And he just kept shrinking it.
Yeah.
And you could see the whole thing. You know what happened, listeners, but it was quality.
And X-5,
yeah.
His reactions to it were so good.
He was good.
Like, he is a very good actor. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching him from an acting point of view. Like, I was like, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the way he's responding to it as well.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no, you wouldn't. And then as it's getting closer and closer, you can see him starting to sweat, literally.
The belief starts to come in, like, you could do this. And again, having just sat there and told Loki, you're not a hero, you're a villain. It's like, you've egged him on now. You've pushed him too far.
Yeah.
You've told him he's a villain, he's gone back to
being a
villain.
It was just the way he got the controller out and he was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, it was good. No, the whole thing was good.
You mean this one?
Yeah. And the look on his face on X-Files face when he got it. It was good. I really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, me
too. So in the end, they managed to get the information out of him.
Yeah, of where Sylvie is.
Yeah. So the fact that firstly he bailed on his mission completely.
Yeah.
Which again, we already knew.
Yeah.
And obviously we go on to find Sylvie. But then again, he keeps pushing that none of this is real.
Yeah, yeah.
So what? What does he know? I don't know. Well, we knew he was hiding something because we knew he knew that the timelines were going to get bombed.
But is there another reason that she's bombing it then?
No, I think she's
Is it because she knows something?
I don't know.
If he knows something. Do you know what I mean?
Has he just bailed because he wanted to be Brad Wolf? Or has he bailed because he's thought he's found something else out?
Well, no. Well, he said
he knew to be on the sacred timeline.
Yeah, the only place that's safe is to be on the sacred timeline.
But why has he not followed his mission through? Is it just pure selfishness, or is it? I don't know. Is there some other reason?
I don't know.
There's 8 episodes of this, and thankfully we're moving quite quick with the story. Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm just not entirely sure. It could be linked to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We don't know. But let's talk about Sylvie. So we find Sylvie. She's got this new life.
And wasn't expecting to work at Mackey's, by the way.
Weren't you? I knew she was going to work at McDonald's because of the...
That threw me. I hadn't seen anything for it, so I just wasn't expecting to see her in the uniform at the till.
I know. But the thing is, it's like she just wants a normal life.
Yeah,
she's been the princess of Asgard, do you know what I mean? Been that she's I assume
and she's fought, been on the run.
Yeah, I assume Spent she's fought the Avengers. I assume that she's been through a very similar storyline.
Well, I don't
Loki.
Know because she was taken as a child, wasn't she?
She's been on the run since she was
so
a kid.
Literally from the age of 10.
Yeah
I mean, you don't know, she could have still bumped into Avengers and stuff like that, because you don't know what's happened to I mean, there was a frog Thor in the Madlands, wasn't there? Remember?
Yeah.
So, you know, Avengers have probably been and gone through TVA as well. Exactly. So she might have done.
Well, the Avengers in her universe will probably have been happening. It's just whether she's come across them.
Yeah.
But she just wants normal.
Yeah.
But
does she? No, I think she does. But this is the thing. Like, I really loved that scene where she was lying on a truck and then the supervisor comes past and she's literally having the mundane conversations. And I think that moment was really important for her.
Yeah.
About just wanting to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But we'll come back to that.
Why is there something more important with that?
Yeah, there is. We'll come back to it.
I missed it.
I had to do some Googling and research.
But isn't it? Okay.
But because that's the end of the episode. We'll come back to it.
Is that the end of the episode?
Where she sat on the truck. Yeah, it's where she sat on the truck. There's not much more to do.
Oh, okay.
So we get the conversation. Loki obviously rolls up to Sylvie, tries to convince her to come and be part of this mission.
Yeah.
He's saying to her, I've seen you in the future. I know it's happening.
Yeah.
And she's basically saying, we now know that it's not fate. There is no such
it's
thing
now
as
free
fate.
Will.
Yeah, because you've got the best timelines. It doesn't mean it's me. Clearly it is happening to a future version of Sylvie, but it doesn't necessarily need to be her. Could be someone on the main timeline. Or a branch timeline. And then that's when Brad starts to get even more nervous.
Yeah.
And we find out it's because he does not want to be on that timeline, because he knows
it's getting blown up.
The timeline is going to get blown up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It moved very quick at that point, I thought.
It did move very quick.
Yeah, it was like a big jump. I thought, right, this is going to be what's happening in the next episode. And it was, in a bad way, it was a bit too quick, but in a good way, it was nice and quick. So it's like, we're not going to now get a whole episode of stopping the bombing. It's moving nice and fast. But and we saw Doc's blown up the timeline.
Yeah.
Incest mom. Surely that whole plan was just for that. That was just, she doesn't think, she still believes in the work of the TVA.
Yeah.
She still believes that there should only be one secret timeline.
Yeah.
So because it's all gone absolutely tits up and there's now hundreds of timelines, or millions if not branch timelines, she's just dropping bombs at some point in the branch timeline.
Yeah.
And it's going,
yeah,
they're all just getting rid of them, that's it. And obviously, like, everyone's devastated.
Yeah.
But B-15 seems to be the most affected, but everybody in there is devastated. But they stop it. I don't get the impression she's got every branch timeline. Clearly not, because
I think there was something like 30% left.
Okay. Was that a thing? Was it on screen?
They were talking about the percentages, and I think there was about 30% left by the time they'd stopped it all.
Okay.
But there was just that moment of them all mourning.
Surely they're all... Because time isn't... Or my impression is, it's not a loop, is it?
We don't know where Sylvie went, because at that moment when all those branches were coming, Sylvie was there with them.
Yeah, she was, yeah. And then she's ended up back in the Oklahoma timeline that she was in at the end.
Did she?
Yeah. So the end of the episode was when she was sat in that truck. So her timeline.
I thought that bit all happened before she went with them.
No. That was the very end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, time isn't like one line. Clearly, we've seen this because
when we first started as well, the white line in the middle of the thing was perfectly straight.
Yeah.
And although that most of them had retracted, did you notice that it was all very wavy?
Yeah. I think it was as well once the branch timeline started appearing. Yeah. But the point is, the branch timelines don't just appear in order. It's like the first branch timeline doesn't appear in 1961 and then 1962 and then 1963.
Yeah, yeah.
They were getting one that was going in 2000 and then back in the 60s and yeah, the 40s yeah. and then jumping forward to the year 3000. So these branch timelines are constantly just appearing.
Yeah.
If now that they've bombed all those timelines, surely the very, very similar timelines are just going to come back. Because it's still decisions that are going to happen. Past, present, and future. So you can't have just deleted them forever. It's going to be a constant loop. A couple more things to go through. We need to talk about Obi and Casey.
Loved it.
Obi and Casey meeting was the best part.
I know, right?
Of this. I still love Obi. Yeah. He like runs in, he's like, we're all going to die. Nice to meet you. We're all going to die. And yeah. Casey just full on fangirled.
Yeah. He was just so like, funny.
This is the best moment of my life.
Can I get an autograph?
He's got literally, Casey's got a drawer full of Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And he's buzzing off meeting this dude who wrote this book. Do you know what I mean? I love it. So just funny. Again, a tiny little thing, but it humanizes it more, doesn't it? They were talking about, there was a lot of talk in this episode about Renslayer.
Yes, there was.
So obviously
they were looking for her.
They're looking for Renslayer because she bottled it. She bailed at the end of season
one. And they've not been able to find her from her
temp pad.
Yeah.
So she's had a temp, like a modified temp pad.
Yeah.
Similar to how all these hunters have got the modified temp pads.
Yeah.
But they've not been able to track her.
No.
Until the very end of the episode.
Until the very end, yeah.
They knew where she was.
When all the branches had started
to
close
off. So is she in the 40s?
Maybe.
Is that why we come across Victor Timely?
Maybe.
Again, because she's always said
she's known more than she was letting on.
Yeah.
So has she been working for him all along?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But we knew she was working with He Who Remains.
Yeah.
So is Victor Timely like a very close variant to He Who Remains? Is he the earlier He Who Remains?
Maybe.
Because He Who Remains was just a Kang variant.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Seen it all happen and then gone back and wiped it back. Yeah. He could literally just be an earlier version.
Of that same one.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't know.
No.
The end of the episode then. Let's get to the end of the episode. So, like you said, brilliant. And it showed that Sylvie is just like dead happy with
the mundane
life. Yeah, basically working at McDonald's, sitting on the truck, offering the boss a drive home. But did you see what she had in her hand? So when
the
she was
stone
sat,
thing with the little orange lines in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
That is He Who Remains' temp pad.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So they've got these temp pads that allow you to open doors through time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The hunters have then modified theirs and Renslayer's modified hers to be even more powerful and allow them to go through time really, really quickly to drop all these bombs.
Yeah.
He Who Remains had the most powerful one so that he could change time, do anything, create new timelines. And now Sylvie's got it. So,
okay.
Is this real? Is Sylvie creating a timeline? Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be more to it than that. Because she sat there.
Explain why you're saying this is not real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this branch created by Sylvie?
Yeah.
Like you said. And it contradicts what she's saying. Because it's like she's saying to Loki, I don't want to be involved. I don't want it. I don't want to deal with timelines. I don't want to be involved
she's
with TVA.
It.
I don't want to do anything. But
yeah.
Then she's still sitting there. Now, it could have just been a case that she's sitting there and it's tempting her.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than I'm doing something with it.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot more to that.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, He Who Remains was pretty much God, beyond God. Do you know what? He controlled all time and space.
Well, I'm wondering whether
now she's got it.
I was wondering whether as well he's... Like maybe the variants of the of Kang have got, I don't know, something that means that it's linked and they could find her. Like it's a tracking thing in some way,
maybe,
so they could find her.
Yeah,
if they were coming to look for her, thinking they were coming to find another Kang to kill to take over. Do you know what I mean? Because they said that's what the Kangs do. They all fight each other.
Yeah, yeah. So it's time war, don't
we? We might find that she's being chased.
The danger is now they're all working together.
Yeah.
From what we've seen.
Well, yeah.
Not all of them, but no. there's a big enough group.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this Council of Kangs. So,
yeah.
It's good. I really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah, me too.
I've just got even more questions. And it's got even more complicated.
Yeah.
I don't feel like any of my questions from episode one have been answered.
No.
Other than the fact that Obi's not a Kang variant.
Yeah.
Because he would have opened the blast doors.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else, I'm still just as confused. And now I've got 10 times more questions. Is this real life? Do you know what I mean? It's like, what is happening? I don't know. And as I said, the opening of the episode proper.
Yeah, yeah.
That threw
thoroughly,
me. That
thoroughly threw enjoyed it so much.
It's, again, great series. Can't wait for episode 3. It's just, I know we're only 2 episodes in. I think there's 6 episodes altogether.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too quick with it either.
No.
I am really enjoying the series. Yeah. Should we see what the listeners think? Should we do Podfans Assemble?
Pod Fans Assemble.
So we started with a poll asking us what you thought of episode 2. 87% loved it.
That's mega, isn't it?
That's the first time we've had something that high in quite some time.
Ages.
Yeah.
Maybe apart from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know.
But certainly TV series.
Yeah. 13% said it was okay.
Okay.
Which obviously, if you can add up, means that 0% hated
Quick
it.
Maths.
And it's been a long time since nobody hated that, something.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So
see, everybody doesn't.
Really? No.
People haven't got superhero fatigue.
No.
People just don't like crap.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of Marvel has been.
But I said,
let's be honest.
We got treated with the whole Endgame thing, and it peaked at Endgame.
Yeah.
And I think it was hard to maintain that level, but our expectations had then reached that point.
Yeah.
So to get anything less than that was then becoming dull for people.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we've had. And I've said that from day one.
It did just get better and better and better, didn't it?
Yeah,
Marvel
as
you went.
Yeah.
Bigger and better every single, not every movie, but it was still, even if you got a crap movie, it was still part of the whole Endgame saga, and you knew where it was going.
Exactly.
Whereas now, I'm looking into the whole Marvel ramp.
No,
you don't know where we don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
This though doesn't seem particularly linked. I know it is because it's all about the multiverse.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't, it's still good quality stuff.
Exactly. So we asked you for any comments and also to rate out of 10 as well
the episode. Yeah.
So Ronan just simply commented with a 9. Out of 10.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Can't complain with that.
I don't think it's as good as a 10. I'd give last week's a 10, and this would be a 9.
Okay.
But that's still good.
Yeah, 100%. Ken said, so I really loved this week's Loki. It was emotionally affecting. Minor characters like Jack, who Sylvie worked with, made me feel the actions that the rogue TVA agents did was even more reprehensible.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even
I love
think
that. No,
of
I
that.
Didn't think about that.
Poor Jack going home with his mum.
I know.
Getting blown up.
I know.
But he's not even getting blown up.
18-year-old supervisor living his life,
I know. Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Jack won't experience. I know Brad was like, she's going to get blown up. She's going to get blown up.
Yeah.
These people aren't
going to
get blown
up.
They're just going to cease to exist.
Yeah. Hiddleston was immense this week. You could literally feel the emotion coming from his Loki through the screen. Fantastic stuff. Totally.
So
agree.
Good, Hiddleston.
Yeah. He is amazing, to be fair.
As good as he is as Loki, I feel like he's a bit wasted as Loki.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic character.
Well, he did audition for Thor at first, didn't he?
He's a fantastic character, but...
Yeah.
And I think that's saying something, because Loki's probably one of the most enigmatic characters in the whole of the MCU. Down to Hiddleston. But I still think Hiddleston's wasted with him.
Yeah. Nothing's going to surpass, though. I've been falling for 30 minutes!
He's so good, Loki. What a character.
Hello said, this was another top-notch episode, which was both compelling and funny. What makes Loki work is the brilliant cast... all who sizzle with chemistry and charisma. Loki and Mobius are a dynamic double act, and Loki and Sylvie are a real spark when on screen. OB is a brilliant new character, and it seemed impossible to introduce another as good, but they did it with X5, Brad. That interrogation scene was electric. It really was.
It was good.
But it's set design which steals the show for me. Just love those oranges and teals, and now I really want some key lime pie.
It's spot on. Everything is spot on. You don't even I think when you don't automatically go to things like the set design.
Yeah.
That shows how kind of good the set design is, because it wasn't just... Obviously, if you've just got some random thing set in New York, fair play. But when you've got something as weird and wonderful as the TVA, and you don't sit there and think it looks gaudy and stupid like Star Wars, the prequels,
where
it's all CG.
Yeah.
That's a real testament to how good they've done
with
that set design. Like the suit last week.
Yeah.
Mobius' spacesuit. It was so out there and so ridiculous, but it was...
Really worked.
It fit so well in the world. It was great.
Exactly. Then Mr. Pink 2 said, loved it. The fact it feels more character and story driven with bits of action sprinkled on top is really engaging.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. They have got that balance perfectly, I think. The character interactions and relationships are fun with, once again, Loki and Mobius' friendship being the perfect buddy cop style relationship, which I find oddly heartwarming. Bloody great episode, and looking forward to episode 3. P.S. Probably don't need to mention this bit, but are you guys going to review Gem V?
Yeah, there we go.
That's where we got it. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So...
We do need to. I've heard such good things about Gen V. I think the fact it was a spin-off puts me off. I don't like spin-offs. I know everything. I know Loki's a spin-off. But I don't really... the spin-off idea is what throws me. But we love the boys.
Yeah.
This is apparently really good. So we'll do it. We'll get... it. As I said, it finishes in the middle of Loki.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can fit in a bonus episode somewhere.
Yeah.
Get an extra. Totally. We've not been here for like 3 months. So I'm sure we can fit in a bonus episode or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for that, guys. Thanks for all getting involved.
Guys.
Should we do patron shout-outs?
Yep.
So, thanks to Geeky Nate, Kenneth, Michael, Richard, Jessica, Avid Gamer, and Sheldon. Yeah, Sheldon. Third mention in one episode. It's good, that, isn't it? Thanks for supporting the show. Patrons get exclusive access to our bonus podcast, Into the Podverse, with brand new episodes every month. This month, as we said, we've done a bad movie commentary. Another one. That's our third commentary in a row. We did The Flash. And we did a bit of a review at the end as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us know, right?
The credits.
During the credits, yeah. Let us know, patrons, do you want more? Do you like the commentaries? Or do you want us to get back to doing some reviews as well? Or just mixed up, basically. If you're not a patron, check it out. You can actually go on the Patreon page and sign up as a free member. You won't get access to it all at the moment.
Yeah.
But you do get to have like previews of episodes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you listen to like the first 5 minutes. So you can see what it's all about and you can listen to the intro as well. Patrons also get discounts off merch and the ability to listen to the show being recorded live every week through the Discord. If you want to access all that extra content and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/thatsuperherothing or hit the link in the description. Other than that, thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to come back next week for our review of Loki Episode 3. If you don't already, make sure you check out the socials at I've written Twitter. It's X now, as we said. X and Instagram and Blue Sky and Threads, because I'm doing stuff on there as well. You get all the latest updates for the show and calls to action for next week's Pod Fans Assemble. Or if you want to get straight into the conversation now and talk to us and loads of other listeners, then you can head over to the Discord server, which again is totally free. And you can find an invite link in the description as well. That description is getting really full of links. It's just links. Finally, if you've enjoyed the show, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating or review or on Apple or Spotify. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher we go up the charts and the more people will find the show.
Yep.
Other than that, I'm tired doing this 2 weeks in a row, 3 shows in a row. But it's good. I'm glad to be back again.
It is.
I'm excited for Gen V. I might watch a bit of Gen V tonight.
Yeah.
Because we've got nothing to do this weekend, because we've literally recorded this straight from work.
I know, yeah.
On a Friday, which hasn't given you guys much chance to get in Pod Fans Assemble messages, but we'll figure something out for next week.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, guys, thanks for coming back. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys. Thank
see you.
Bye bye.